Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. I'm delighted today to come to you from my backyard as we're here at the end of summer, and I'm super excited about the fall season. And I'd like to share some truths with you today on how to prepare for the upcoming months of ministry, setting the course for the fall season. You know, as I think about this, I want to remind you that the Spiritual Leadership Conference is right around the corner, and we're excited the last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of September to host pastors from all over the country and around the world coming in for the Spiritual Leadership Conference. So let me encourage you, mark your calendar, join with us. We have some super special guests and some fantastic content geared for local church ministry. Well, when I think about setting the course and renewing vision, I think of the scriptures teaching in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And of course, vision can be defined as a biblical paradigm, a biblical understanding. And what we need for our lives and our churches as we come to the end of the summer and look ahead to the fall season is we need God's view of the church and God's view of the world so that we can properly set the course for the days ahead. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 19, Paul wrote, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." That phrase always catches me, "of whom I travail in birth again." I think, wow, what a process. I mean, bringing someone into the world once, my wife told me, was quite a bit of labor, but to do that again. And sometimes in the ministry, we're working with people again and again and again until Christ be formed in them. And as you enter this next fall season, I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged, don't have a ho-hum attitude, don't take the idea that this person or that group is never going to change, why even try? Because the fact of the matter is that this could be the breakthrough moment for some of them. And that's to be your spirit, is God, let this fall season be the difference maker in the life of the church where I serve. Well, let me give you seven quick principles today that I believe you can use as you set the course and renew the vision for the fall season. First of all, I want to challenge you to identify the needs of the church. Now, we know that the church is the Lord's church, but in a proper biblical sense, there should be an ownership that we as leaders take in really looking at the needs of the church. Just like someone that's going in for a physical exam wants the doctor to discern what the needs might be, we need God's Spirit to help us discern the needs of the church. So by that, as you pray these next few days, ask yourself, what is the spiritual temperature of the church? Revelation 2 and 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." There may be some areas of your church that you might sense are drifting spiritually. And as you think of those, write those things down. Ask yourself this question, where am I spiritually as the pastor? You know, summer can do one of two things. Summer can really be a restful, enriching time, and you can be just right on top of your spiritual life. Or sometimes people can get out of habit, not faithful in their Bible reading, and can become lethargic. So ask yourself honestly, where are you spiritually? Because you cannot lead somebody else into a life that you're not experiencing with regard to the richness of Jesus Christ. And so be sure to look introspectively in that way, because leadership really begins with who you are, not with what you do. So you might say, well, I'm still the pastor, I hold the office, but what I'm asking you is, how are you doing spiritually? And jot that down if there's an area where God's convicting you and you need to fine tune before the fall season begins. Thirdly, I would ask this, how is our church doing in its relationship with the community? The first question is, how's the spiritual temperature of the church? Secondly, how's my spiritual temperature? Third analytical question is, where are we in relationship to community awareness? Does the church even know you exist, or does the community rather know you exist? Do they know where you are? Do they know what you believe? Have you been faithful in getting that word out? And perhaps there's a particular neighborhood in your community that you really want to target this fall, or perhaps a community newsletter throughout the community, perhaps a series of messages that speaks to the need of the culture in which you live. But you need to step back and just ask this question with respect to community awareness. Fourthly, I would ask this question. Does the church have an insider focus, or are we still looking to the fields white already unto harvest? If the answer is more of an insider focus, that would lead me to preach some soul-winning messages, to really emphasize having a missions conference, to emphasize gospel tracts in the foyer, and friends being invited and so forth. So how is the view of the church? And many times, again, in the summer, the view can become very inward. And so we've got to do our best to lift up our eyes and look to the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. Next question I would ask is, are there any physical needs on the campus that have been neglected that need to be ready? Nothing worse than inviting a bunch of visitors in September and having a crooked sign, a broken toilet, and a smelly nursery. So let me encourage you as the pastor, take a look at your environment. And as you make these assessments, you write these down as well, the spiritual as well as the physical assessments. And so this is the time to really just do an interview with the Lord, with yourself, perhaps with staff, and identify the needs of your church. And remember this, if you look around and see some problems as you make this assessment, as we're here at the end of the summer and you're going, wow, I've got some lethargy in the church, I've got some broken rooms and doors, and the spirit just isn't great, I want to challenge you, don't be discouraged with it. You're halfway there by identifying these things. Remember that with every problem, there's a breakthrough opportunity. There's an opportunity to really make a difference. So identify the needs of the church. Secondly, pray for God's direction. You've written down this list. My list might be a page or two long. Now I've got to pray about this. I've got to get God's priority on the matters. And normally it's going to start with me. I've got to get my heart right. I've got to make sure that my spirit is right. So I think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah saw the broken wall around Jerusalem in 586 BC. And you know what an amazing time that was. The three Hebrew children had been taken, the entire city of Jerusalem destroyed and sacked. And imagine what Nehemiah felt on the heels of all of that. And so he obviously made lists, like we spoke about a moment ago. But then he had to pray for God's direction. And a couple of things I want you to pray for right now. I think you need to pray for a burden. You know, some of you say, yeah, I do have some broken stuff around the church and I don't care. You need to have an attitude check on that one. Someone's got to care. Someone's got to get a burden for the basic, simple things. And I want to encourage you to pray for a burden. You might say, yeah, I've got a deacon or two that aren't really coming to church much like they should, or not going soul winning. And it's just, that's just the way it is. I want to encourage you, don't settle. Keep pressing on the upward way. So pray for the right burden. I want to encourage you, like Nehemiah, pray with confession. You may confess, Lord, some of this condition is because I've not cared like I should. And confess it to the Lord. But identify the needs and then pray for God's direction and priority as you meet those needs. Thirdly, you've got to clarify the vision for the church. There's nothing wrong with bringing a message even and saying, folks, as I've spent time in prayer these last few weeks, I really believe that there's some priorities we need to address as a church. We need to be more friendly and welcoming guests. We need to be more active in soul winning. We need to care and steward for the campus that God has given to us. And you take what God gives you there and that burden, and you share it with the church family. Now, don't share it as a guilt trip or, you know, some kind of a something that's discouraging, but share it as an opportunity for everyone to make a difference in your community. Now, make sure that that vision is derived from the scriptures. You want to give them a scriptural vision, as we said a moment ago, a clear biblical picture of where the future of your church is going, and make sure that you're not preaching simply human idealism or some kind of, you know, Disney vision, especially these days, you don't want Disney vision. But I'm not talking about color and theming and simply your best picture. I'm talking about giving them biblical convictions for souls, biblical convictions for their heart's condition, biblical convictions for the facilities and the property. that all things should be done decently and in order. So clarify that vision with the church, and then motivate the church for the vision with faith. And just tell them, folks, I know to get some of these things cared for is going to take some funds, but I believe God can provide. I know that we've passed out tracts in that neighborhood before, but I believe there's hearts that are ready now that weren't ready a year ago. And you must believe that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I just want to encourage you to identify the needs of the church, pray for your own needs spiritually, pray for the direction, clarify the vision with the church. And then I want to say number four, it would be so vital for you to establish the ministry path for your church. Really establish that path. Where are we going as a church? And sometimes in a church like ours, you can have what some people call complexity creep. That is to say, without really realizing it, so many things have gotten onto the calendar, so much complexity exists, that it's important that we give a streamlined vision of where we're going. Now, you take a campus like ours. We have a church, a school, a college. We have high school basketball games, college basketball games. We have every kind of an activity. And every once in a while, I've got to just sit down and either cancel some things, move some things, delay some things to keep the main things as a priority. And it is a challenge for us to do that, but it's an exercise that we go through regularly. So let me give you our ministry path, and I want you to recognize that this is something that a new member should be able to see and walk through as you emphasize it to them. First, when we look at our ministry path, we look at our worship. That's the very first step of a visitor. And I ask myself, how is the usher ministry doing? How are the greeters doing? How's the parking lot ministry? I've been working a lot on parking lately. We have about 10 to 12 men and another 8 or 10 teens that work in sections of the parking lot. First impressions are so very important. But worship. Worship is taking place on Sunday. And I think it starts the minute we get on campus. Then I ask, how's the music doing, the choirs, the ensembles, the pianos, the soloists, and then of course the preaching. How are we doing and connecting in the preaching? So that's the first step, and everyone that has a part in that step needs to be ready and challenged for the first Sunday of September. After that worship, we want to encourage people to find a place in the community. So we're encouraging them to get into a connection group where they can begin to meet friends, become discipled, begin ministering in the church at that level. And so we pay a lot of attention to our teachers' meetings this fall, getting a unified curriculum into the hands of every teacher. I encourage you to visit Striving Together Publications. We have three brand new curriculums hitting the websites in conjunction with the Spiritual Leadership Conference next month. And these are fantastic materials that your laymen will greatly appreciate. And I encourage you to get those there for the connection groups or the Sunday school classes. Then after community, we really emphasize commitment. So once someone visits the church and through worship is inspired or saved, we want them to then find a place in community in the small group. While there, we're encouraging them to a deeper level of commitment. And that usually means continued discipleship. So I think this is a good time to ask yourself, do you have your curriculum? Has it been ordered? Do you have trained disciplers? Some of my pastor friends have taken their entire church through continued discipleship on a Wednesday night. Just disciple everyone for about 12 to 15 weeks and then ask, how many of you would like to take someone personally through this later this fall? And through that process, they've recruited many, many different brand new disciplers. But this is the commitment level, getting people rooted and grounded. After commitment, our next step is service. And service involves getting folks trained in soul winning or inviting them to serve in a ministry. And no one starts there for the first step, right? They start with worship. They get connected. Then they continue with commitment and discipleship. Then they can be involved in service. And finally, they get involved in outreach. And this is a part of the ministry that I enjoy twice a year, enlisting new people in soul winning, training them. A very identifiable ministry path. It's on the walls of our church. It's in the bulletin of our church. It's something that I teach a couple of times a year, and I encourage you to do the same. So what are you doing here? You're establishing that ministry path and saying, here's where we're going this fall. Number five, you've got to prepare the congregation. All right. You've been looking inwardly. You've been looking at the congregation. You've been studying the scripture. You've been clarifying some of the vision with them. Now you've got to make sure that the church is ready for change that needs to come, or a new schedule, or an emphasis on discipleship, or whatever you've determined. Make sure you're communicating with your deacons, your Sunday school teachers. What are the things you're going to emphasize this fall so that they can be right on board with you when you introduce it to the church? And then I would encourage you to preach that vision the first couple Sunday nights of September. If you want to reintroduce a ministry path, if you want to reemphasize soul winning or discipleship, if you have some special work days coming up, share that with the church family from a biblical perspective. And once you share it with them, number six, implement the strategy. You want to implement that strategy with the Word of God being preached, with delegation of responsibility, sharing the responsibility, and be very clear in the process of that. And then you want to provide predetermined checkpoints. So if you are emphasizing discipleship, you want to have two or three meetings with your disciplers during the fall to make sure things are going well. If you're emphasizing facility renovation, you want to keep the church up to date on that and meet with your committee or your leaders in that area. Whatever the area is that you're emphasizing, you've got to inspect what you expect, right? And you've got to be sure to regulate what you delegate and just keep on following up in that area. And then finally, I want to share this with you. I want to encourage you to motivate biblically, all right? So you've been through this process. You've identified the needs of the church. You've prayed for God's direction for the church. You've clarified that direction to the church. You've established a ministry path. You've prepared the congregation along the way. You've implemented the strategy. Maybe you've had a workers' night, or you've had a Sunday night service where you've said, here's where we're going. The final step in this is to motivate biblically, right? Now, here we are at the end of summer, and I'm sitting out here in my backyard talking to you about motivation. And sometimes it's hard to get motivated in the hot weather. People are just coming in off vacation. You'd rather like go jump in the pool or something, right? But as leaders, we're either going to be the thermometer leader or the thermostat leader. And it's our responsibility to raise that up a little bit and say, all right, here's where we're going, and do it in a biblical fashion. Now, how do you motivate biblically? Couple things. Remember, people are accepted in the beloved. So don't motivate them by, if you do this, then you're really important, or if you do this, then you're really loved. That's not a proper motivation. They're already fully loved and accepted by the Lord. The right motivation really is the love of Christ constraineth us. Sometimes just preaching the cross, emphasizing what Jesus has done, and just reminding the church, if he died for us, let's live for him. And so be careful to motivate simply from some form of a performance acceptance or some form of guilt, but encourage them with the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you something. I believe Christ is coming soon. I believe the platform for the Antichrist is being established even today. I believe the one world religion's coming together. I believe they're designing their flag and they're mentoring their leader. The Antichrist could be alive today for all we know. With that thought in mind, very soon we could be standing before the Lord. And I know that I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so don't feel bad for trying to get folks ready to serve this fall. Even as you've encouraged them to rest this summer, it's so important that we enter the ministry with a fresh heart and preparing people for the fact that they want to stand before the Lord, thankful that they were faithful to the Lord. So remind them that we're not emphasizing moralism or behavioralism. We're emphasizing Christian, spirit-filled ministry that is motivated by the love of Jesus and love for Jesus. And then secondly, remind them of this. Not only are they motivated by Christ, but they are enabled by Christ. I love Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you want to talk about performance scripturally, it's really all about Jesus Christ doing the work through us. We just simply have to say, here am I, Lord, use me. We have to be yielded to the Lord. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's very clear that though he's crucified with Christ, nevertheless Christ lives in him, Christ works through him. And this is my prayer, that Christ will work through me and through our church family this year. So take some time to identify the needs, take some time to write them down, to clarify them with your leaders, take some time to really establish that ministry path, starting with worship, ending with outreach. Where are you going to walk with your new members this fall? Prepare the congregation and then implement the renewed strategy. And yes, there'll be things you always do. That's okay. Missions conference, perhaps. Bus ministry kickoff, perhaps. But what is it that needs special attention this fall? And then once you get that direction, encourage people biblically and scripturally. Now, again, if all you get out of this brief time together today is that you need to get a yellow pad in your Bible and get some time now in the next few days, not to rest or to throw a football with your kids or to have a root beer float, that's all great. But just for you and God to consider the church. And if you'll take this approach and really identify those needs and begin to hone in on where God wants you to go, this time of preparation, I believe, will pay great dividends in the execution just a few weeks, even from right now. And let me tell you what, a great boost to what God is doing in your heart, even now, is going to happen at Spiritual Leadership Conference 2023, a few weeks from right now, the last Monday night of the month of September. And we're going to join together with thousands of Christian workers. Our theme is trust in Him, and we're going to trust the Lord for greater days in the future of serving Him. Join with us for a great time together. Thanks for joining with me today from my backyard here in Southern California, LA County, to wherever you are. I pray that God will use you to be a leader who pauses here at the end of the summer, makes the right assessments, and sets the course for a great and successful fall program in your ministry.